translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. As the Lord took His second step, He covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for His third step. For the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and even Satyaloka. Purport. When the Lord's footstep exceeded the height of all the lokas, including Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka, His nails certainly pierced the covering of the universe. The universe is covered by the five material elements, Bhumir Aponalo Vayu Kham. As stated in the Shastra, these elements are in layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous one. Nonetheless, the nails of the Lord pierced through all these layers and made a hole penetrating into the spiritual world. From this hole, the water of the Ganges infiltrated into this material world, and therefore it is said, Pada Naka Nira Janita Janapavana Dashavatar Stotra 5. Because the Lord kicked the hole in the covering of the universe, the water of the Ganges came into this material world to deliver all the fallen souls. End of purport. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport, so the 8th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Guru Paramananda Premananda Palaprada Vrajananda Pradananda Sevayam Niyojaya Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Tata Deve Tata Guru Tasyaite Katita Yartha Prakashante Mahatmana Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Surupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadharya Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak something on Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is very exalted literature. Srila Prabhupada referred to it as the most important book. Brahmananda Prabhu once asked him which one of his books was the most important. And Prabhupada started by speaking about the first canto of Bhagavatam, specifically the first verse. And he said that everything is contained within the Bhagavatam, everything you need to know. And even Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also said that if all books were destroyed, if Srimad Bhagavatam remained, then there wouldn't be any loss. So to speak on the Bhagavatam requires a great degree of qualification. And specifically speaking on this canto, canto 8, which is one of the most important cantos in the whole Bhagavatam, it brings us closer to understanding who Krishna is. So it's explained that each of the cantos of Bhagavatam relate to different parts of Krishna's body. And canto 10 obviously refers to the beautiful smiling face of the Lord. And canto 8 is said to be the arms of the Lord. So when you're looking at someone taking darshan of the deities, we begin from the foot, the legs, the foot up to the face. So when you reach the arms, it means you've gone quite far up and you're getting closer. So canto 8 is a very important canto. And it contains some amazing pastimes which the Lord has taken in order to teach us important lessons. So this pastime of Bali Maharaj, which we're continuing today, contains a lot of important lessons, not just for fallen souls, but also for aspiring sadhakas just like ourselves. There's some lessons that we can learn from this pastime that we can apply to our spiritual life. And this pastime is very important specifically because it's connected to surrender, which is what every devotee is trying, is aspiring to be able to one day do, surrender fully to Krishna. So we see here that Bali Maharaj is surrendering to the Lord. But what were the qualifications of Bali Maharaj, and what were the steps that he took in order to reach this point where he's able to surrender fully to the Lord? I'll try to say a couple of things about those as the class goes on. So here in this verse, the Lord has taken a second step. He approached Bali Maharaj as Vamanadeva, the dwarf incarnation, approached Bali Maharaj and asked him for 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj gave him 3 steps. So the Lord took the first step and then took his second step. And with his second step here in the verse, he said that he covered everything that there was to cover, the heavenly planets, and there was nothing left. So he had one more step. So where was he going to put that step? It's going to be covered in the next verses. The Bali Maharaj told him to put the 3rd step on his head. But from this verse, we see something interesting, that when the Lord extended his foot, he severed burst the universal covering. And the water from the Karna ocean came down into the heavenly regions. Now, someone may look at this and think that the Lord made a mistake, because obviously he didn't mean to burst the universal coverings. But one who's in knowledge will understand that this was actually one of the plans of the Lord, that this wasn't a mistake, this was done on purpose. He wanted to burst the universal covering. Why? So that Ganga Devi, so that the waters from the Karna ocean could come down to the heavenly planets. And then later on, King Bhagirath, who would approach Ganga Devi, would request her to come to the material world so that she could give the opportunity to fallen souls like ourselves to become purified by bathing in the waters. So the first point from this pastime is that the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's activities are not random. The Lord can perform various activities, can fulfill various goals with just one activity. Everything that he does is done with a specific purpose in mind. There's no coincidence when it comes to Krishna. One of the qualities of Krishna given by Rupa Goswami is that Krishna is most expert and is the most clever person. So everything he does has a purpose. So this is a very important point, because a lot of the time people find it very difficult to comprehend the activities of the Lord. Why does he do this? What is the point? Where is he trying? What is the meaning? And sometimes this can also affect devotees. Sometimes we're not able to understand what the Lord is trying to achieve when he's making certain plans in our life. We're not able to ascertain what is the purpose of those plans. And people can get bewildered, even religious people. There's a story of this Jewish rabbi. I'm not sure if he's a Jewish rabbi anymore, but his story has been told many times, of Rabbi Haro Kushner, whose son suffered from a disease called... Praveen Prabhu, what's the name of the disease? He suffered from the disease that... Progeria? Yeah, it's a disease that makes one his body age quicker than it's supposed to. Like that. So he had a son who was about like 9 years old, and the boy looked like he was in 60. So this rabbi found it very difficult to come to terms with this, because he understood that he was a religious people, and the way that, as far as he was concerned, suffering was only supposed to happen to people who didn't believe in God. Why would someone who's given everything to God to the point that they decided to become a rabbi preaching the message of the Lord have something like this happening to them in their life? And he couldn't comprehend this. And he wrote a book called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And in his book, he presented this philosophy called theodicy, which is whereby the pretty much emasculate God, saying that God can't be all powerful, right? Because we have this understanding that God is all powerful and he's all good. He said, God can't be all powerful and all good, right? Because if he's all good, then why would he allow people to suffer, especially religious people? And God can't be all powerful because he can't stop the suffering of people like myself, right? So it means either he's all good, but he's not all powerful, or he's all powerful and he's not all good. That means he can stop the suffering, but he doesn't want to. Or he's all good and all powerful because he wants to, but he can't do it. So he wrote this book, and this was a religious person who dedicated his life to God consciousness and spirituality. And he became bewildered just by one little thing happening in his life. So a lot of the time people can get bewildered, and it can happen to devotees also. Why is this happening to me? Sometimes devotees can lose faith. And the process of Krishna consciousness is such that challenges will have to be there. And if we're not strong enough, and if we're not astute enough philosophically, then we can get bewildered. But when we understand from this pastime here that the Lord's plan, there's always a purpose behind it, right? Even if we're not able to figure it out initially, then we're able to remain as practicing devotees. We're able to maintain our spiritual practice, even if we don't get it. We may not get it initially. And the reason why we don't get it is simply because we don't have the full picture in mind. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has the bigger picture in mind, right? We're just insignificant jivas. We're just being tossed around in the ocean of material existence. So we cannot comprehend everything. But if we have that faith in Krishna, now Krishna has got my best interest at heart, then we won't get bewildered. So this is one point I got from this pastime, that the Lord can fulfill many purposes with one activity. Just by tearing the universal covering, an activity which appeared to be an accident, a lot of other things happen at the same time. The next point from this pastime, which is very interesting, is how Bali Maharaj became qualified to understand who Krishna was, who Lord Vishnu was, who Vamanadeva was, actually, to the point that he surrendered to him. Because if you think about it, Bali Maharaj was actually a demon, came from a demoniac family. So as a demon, the last thing you want to do is to surrender everything to God. Right? So what was it that made Bali Maharaj eligible to be able to understand the position of Lord Vamanadeva? So it's explained that it's actually because Bali Maharaj was connected to great devotees. He came in the line of Prahlad Maharaj, right? And because Bali Maharaj came in the line of Prahlad Maharaj, within his heart, he had that seed of devotion that was there. He was brought up in such an environment that he understood the importance of spirituality and Brahminical culture, so that when Vamanadeva came to him, just by seeing Lord Vamanadeva, that seed that that was lying dormant within his heart was brought back to life. And immediately he understood this is God, right? And because he understood this was God, even though his spiritual master told him not to surrender to him, he discarded the instructions of that spiritual master, because he was also ultimately just a smarter Brahman. He wasn't qualified as a guru. So this is the second point, that the power of connecting oneself to a great devotee is very amazing. Right? Even in the past life of Bali Maharaj also, in I think it's Skanda Purana. I was listening to a lecture, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, and he was explaining that in his past life, Bali Maharaj was actually a drunken womanizer. Right? He used to spend a lot of time frequenting brothels and associating with prostitutes. And he used to spend a lot of his money on alcohol and different things like that. Right? And then one day on his way to meet one of his lady friends, he realized that he was about to die because his body was giving signs. He knew he was going to die, that his time was over. And somehow or other, due to some good fortune, he remembered from his young age about Lord Shiva. And just there and then, he started to offer everything that he had in his mind to Lord Shiva. Right? He started to offer everything to Lord Shiva. And then when he died, he went to Yamaloka. Yamaraj saw him. Chitragupta was there. And they were about to give him his punishment. And Yamaraj said that because you were a womanizer and a drunkard, you're going to suffer a lot. Right? But it just so happened that before you died, you made an offering to Lord Shiva, and this will make you eligible for also for some good fortune. So you got some good fortune, some bad fortune. Which one do you want first? So he said, I want to enjoy the good results first. I want the pious results first. He said, okay, fine. So because you offered to Lord Shiva everything at the time of death, you're going to get the position of Lord Indra for, I can't remember the exact time period, but it was very short. So you're going to get a position of Lord Indra for this limited period of time. So Yamaraj called Indra and he said, okay, you have to get at your post and this person will occupy your post for a few minutes. So this drunkard got the position of Lord Indra and he was clever and he realized that just because I offered a few things to Lord Shiva, I got this great fortune. While I'm in the position of Lord Indra, let me carry on doing good deeds. So he gave Lord Indra's elephant to Brihaspati, started spending all of Lord Indra's fortune and wealth in various sacrifices, and his past credits were accumulating more and more, until the point that he became eligible to be born as Bali Maharaj in the family and a Prahlad Maharaj. So because of his connection to a great personality like Lord Shiva, he made an offering to Lord Shiva. He became eligible to take birth in the family of Prahlad Maharaj. And because of his connection with Prahlad Maharaj, he became eligible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. So this is a very important point, that through our connection with great devotees, we get great fortune, right? No matter who we are, we can be the most fallen person, but because we're connected to great personalities, our consciousness becomes elevated. There's a pastime of that devotees often recount of Srila Prabhupada being on board an airplane with Srita Kirti Prabhu, and they were going somewhere, and Srita Kirti Prabhu had forgotten to pack a decent prasadam for Prabhupada. All he managed to make to pack was some puff rice, because he thought Prabhupada would not be requiring anything on the plane. And then when I got on the plane, Prabhupada told him, I'm ready, I want to take some prasadam. And then he realized he didn't have much, all he had was puff rice. But he went to serve it to Prabhupada, and he offered it to Prabhupada. And as Prabhupada was honoring this puff rice, one air hostess came. And then somehow or other, she just got this kind of inspiration, some crazy thought came into her mind. And she just reached up to Prabhupada's, down to Prabhupada's plate, took a few grains and then popped it in her mouth. Said, oh, this is good. And then she reached again and put it in her mouth. And devotees are thinking, this is amazing. She's taking Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam. Who knows what's going to happen? So that was it. She just took some of Prabhupada's remnants and she ate them. And I didn't see her again. Then a few years later, the devotees were doing Sankirtan in, I think it's the Amazon forest. There's devotees everywhere, every corner of the earth, even in the Amazon forest. And there's fired up devotees doing book distribution. I don't know. So they were doing book distribution in the Amazon forest, and they knocked on the door, And then this old elderly lady opened the door and said, "Oh, Hare Krishna." I said, "What? You know about the Hare Krishna?" She said, yeah. "I know about the Hare Krishna." And then looked inside, there was an altar and all different things. And she started to explain the story that a few years ago, I was working as an air hostess and I got to meet the devotees. And she explained that she was that air hostess who took the remnants on Srila Prabhupada's plate. And Shishirada Gokula Nandaki, Shishitaram Lakshmana Numanaki, Shishigoni Taiki, Shishirada Londonishwariki. So she explained to the devotee that she was this air hostess who took the remnants from Prabhupada. And because she took the remnants from Prabhupada, she got that good fortune whereby she was able to take up the Krishna consciousness later on, even in the Amazon forest without any association. This is amazing. A power of the association of the devotee, that Bali Maharaj here, a demon born in the family of Hiranyakashipu, but it just so happened that because Hiranyakashipu gave birth to Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj was connected to Prahlad Maharaj, he became eligible to understand who the Supreme Personality of Godhead was, to the point that he surrendered everything and he became known as the personification of Atmanivedan, a full surrender to the Supreme Lord. So this is the power of the association of devotees. And the next point that comes to mind from this pastime, having looked at it, is very important also for devotees on this path of Krishna consciousness and devotees trying to develop a connection to the Supreme Lord, is the fact that when Vamana Dev came to Bali Maharaj and asked Bali Maharaj to give him 3 steps, right? Bali Maharaj's guru, Shukracharya, knew that Vamana Dev was Lord Vishnu. And he told Bali Maharaj not to give anything to the Lord because the Lord will take everything, right? Because it's very tricky. You give him, the devotees have this saying, in like a needle, out like a plow. You give him anything and a little bit, it will take everything. So don't give him even 1 step. Don't even give that to him. But Bali Maharaj was intelligent enough, spiritually astute enough, to completely disregard this instruction because he understood that the goal of life was to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Right? So Bali Maharaj was prepared to discard the instruction of his so-called guru, this personality who gave him life back when he was dead, when he got killed by the demigods. It was Shukracharya who broke him back to life, and he became indebted to him, and that's why he actually accepted him as a guru. Right? But when it came to surrendering to Krishna, he was ready to discard Shukracharya's instruction in order to work on his relationship with the Supreme Lord. So this is another very important point for sadhakas, that when it comes to practicing sadhana bhakti, we have to be prepared to reject anything that is unfavorable for our devotion to the Supreme Lord. Right? In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the 6 symptoms of surrender. And it begins with saying that one must accept activities that are favorable for devotion and also reject activities that are unfavorable for devotion. And this is actually a sign of surrender. Right? To be able to say no to something that will not help me establish my relationship to Krishna. Right? And this is an important point. Because when we're performing devotional service, if we're performing all the activities, like chanting Hare Krishna, doing the puja and all these different things, but if we're also maintaining those activities that are not necessary for our devotion, we'll only take 1 step back and 2, 1 step forward and 2 step backwards. And, progress will be very slow. And then often you get devotees sometimes complaining that they don't feel like they're going anywhere. And the reason for this is because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but they're not avoiding what they're supposed to not be doing. So sometimes you get devotees who, even brahmacharis, sometimes watching movies, different things like that, going home to visit their relatives and watching horror movies, different things. You get household of devotees breaking the principles, different things, with the understanding that this is Kali Yuga and you have to be practical. We're not so qualified, so therefore these principles are too elevated, so we need to make some adjustments, right? But Krishna consciousness is a clear science, right? And the path is given by the acharyas, that this is what you need to do and this is what you need to avoid, right? So if you do what you're supposed to do, but you don't avoid what you're supposed to avoid, you won't get the goal. And Krishna is so amazing that he knows when someone is cheating, right? He's within the heart. He knows, he understands the consciousness of each individual. So he will know when someone is doing the best they can do, but if that sincerity is not there, the relationship will not manifest. So we see from the example of Bari Maharaj that he was prepared to sever all his ties with Shukracharya. Why? Because Shukracharya was not in favor of surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as devotees, we have to do the same thing. Right? And sometimes it may be difficult, obviously. It's very easy to sit on the Vyasa-san and tell people what to do. It's very difficult. But there are some steps that can be taken through the association of devotees who also have that kind of determination to surrender the Supreme Lord. We can also develop this kind of strong determination to do the same. Okay. Because otherwise, it's like the story of a man who gets into a boat. He sits in a boat, and the boatman is rowing all night. And then he realizes the next day that the anchor are not being released. So he's been sat in the boat, and they've been rowing all night, thinking they were getting somewhere. But actually, they were still in the same spot. Like that. So it's very important. So Prabhupada explains that an easygoing life and advancement in spiritual life go ill together, right? So if we're trying to mix a bit of this, like try to put a little bit of Maya in there and a little bit of Krishna in there and then see what you can get out of it, you get nothing. So it's a very important point. So Bali Maharaj, what he did was prepare to sacrifice everything to the Supreme Lord. And the next point is that Bali Maharaj showed that the one who gives everything to the Lord is never a loser. That's another important point. Remember that anyone who sacrifices everything to the Lord is never a loser. Right? He gave up the whole universe, and he gave himself also to the Lord. And then at the end, what did the Lord give him? The Lord gave him his personal association, right? He became his doorkeeper, right? So sometimes as devotees, we're afraid that if we surrender to Krishna, we might lose something, right? So in this connection, His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj says that, yes, you will lose something. You lose your material life if you surrender to Krishna. But then what happens when you lose your material life? You gain your spiritual life. Like that. Because ultimately, material life is just a cause of suffering. Right? Any happiness that we're looking for in this material world will only end with the body anyway. Right? I know for myself that one of my biggest problems is sense gratification. We all like sense gratification once in a while. For some people, it's every day. One of my biggest sense gratification is eating. I like prasadam, right? I can't control the tongue. Always eating. But then what happens after that? You're sick. So you get devotees when there's a feast. Devotees is like really exciting. It's like a festival, you know, they're stuffing themselves. But then a few minutes later, every single devotee back in Angamsha has run into the toilet. Right? So that's the material enjoyment. You know, you try to enjoy it, but then you have to suffer also. There's byproducts. You suffer. Right? But Krishna consciousness, spirituality means that we become connected to Krishna, who's the reservoir of all pleasure. And by serving him, we get our happiness. And there are no byproducts. Right? There's no end to the pleasure that we can derive by serving Krishna. So one time Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, what is the goal of life? Okay. And then Prabhupada gave a very interesting answer, which is a true answer, but it's not one that the devotees were used to. And he said the goal of life is to enjoy. Everyone doesn't know how to enjoy, really. So the goal of life is to enjoy, but the only problem is that people in the material world don't know how to enjoy. Right? They're trying to enjoy in a variety of ways, like through the senses and those different things, but all they get is more suffering. And if you look at the world outside, even the richest person is suffering. They have everything that you could possibly think, but they're suffering. Right? The people in the world outside think that by breaking all the principles, you'd be happy. But if you go to the red light district and look at the ladies there, they're having like illicit sex every day. But they're the most miserable people in the world. So if things like sexual interaction or money and those different things made people happy, why is it that in this country, which is one of the most developed countries in the world, every 82 minutes, someone commits suicide. Every 82 minutes, someone commits suicide. That's because material happiness doesn't bring, material life does not bring happiness. So as devotees, we know this, and we're trying to endeavor to connect to Krishna. And we need examples. And that's why Krishna presents the Bhagavatam. That's why he comes and he performs all these amazing pastimes. And through these pastimes, we can derive amazing lessons. And specifically, this pastime of Bali Maharaj, there's some amazing lessons for sadhakas, aspiring devotees just like ourselves. And there are many more than some of the points I presented. There's many more points, but obviously, you only get a certain amount of time to speak. So I'll try to cover some of those points. And basically, the first point was that Bali Maharaj was connected to a great personality, a great devotee. Right? So if you want to make spiritual advancement and get the darshan of the Supreme Lord, we also have to connect ourselves to a great personality. And we do this by following the instructions of the spiritual master and the final acharya, by serving the devotees, and by following principles of Vaishnava etiquette, like that. And the second thing that Bali Maharaj did is that he was prepared to disregard anything that was not conducive to his devotion. So in the same way, we have to do the same thing. There may be many temptations. We're not all perfect. We're all trying, right? But there has to be a certain degree of sincerity. Not that we use the fact that Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardhan to break the principles and then say, oh, Krishna understands what's within my heart. I can watch movies. I can eat onion and garlic and Krishna appreciates that because he's a practical God. Because then we're cheating ourselves. We're not cheating Krishna. He's always smiling because he's always happy. We're trying to connect to him. So we have to make the endeavor. So Bali Maharaj did that. He disconnected himself from anything that was not conducive to spirituality, Krishna consciousness. And then he made that sacrifice where he gave everything up in the end. And then he got the highest result, which is the association of the Lord eternally. So I'll stop here and give a few minutes for questions. And obviously, it's going to be a few questions. But they say, you know, if you're speaking, it's always good to give devotees something to think about. So I tried to. I hope I did.